Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of American Criminal. In our latest season, the child of Italian immigrants sets out to achieve the American dream. And if he has to spill some blood along the way, so be it. Listen to American Criminal, Al Capone, wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get ad-free access to the entire season first, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Welcome to the OC Bitches.
Welcome to the OC Bitches. bitches.
Today we're season 2, episode 14, The Rainy Day Women.
The best episode, not only of the OC, but ever in television history, according to some people. That was a quote that I found. Lee Palmieri from Decider, a journalist. I don't know if you know her or not.
I don't know her personally, but I'm familiar with Decider. And obviously, I'm now a big fan of theirs.
And everyone who, if you hear that voice, you might actually recognize it now, since it is his
third
time here with us.
Am I the first three-peat?
The trifecta. Yeah, you're the first three-peat.
Nice studio you guys got here.
Is it reminiscent a little bit?
It's reminiscent. I walked in, I'm like, that is not the backing, but good enough. Close enough.
It's close enough.
It's good enough.
That's all you can ask for in Hollywood.
Well, thanks for having me back, guys. Very excited to be here.
Thanks for coming out to the Deep Valley today in this fine afternoon.
It's my pleasure.
What do you mean? I thought we were in Malibu. Yeah. I mean, the OC.
Newport. Yeah.
Newport. All we're missing is Seth's boat saying, give me sex.
The give me sex.
Oh, we're going to get into
all that.
I actually really enjoyed this episode.
So, The Rainy Day Women.
Yes.
It definitely, in my, of course, research, it is one of the favorites, if not the favorite, of quite a few people. And I'm curious, first of all, the title. How did the title come to be? What came first? The Spider-Man kiss, the idea of rain, the Bob Dylan song?
I just had this idea that I just really wanted it to rain in Newport Beach. I just thought, being an East Coaster, coming out to California, SoCal for college, as I've talked about, I was stunned to see how people reacted when it rained in Southern California.
It wasn't just an urban legend. It really is
true. I would literally be like, they're covering this on the news. Like, it is like war breaking out in Ukraine. They're like, it is raining in Los Angeles. Like, people were and no one could drive, and people would freak out. No one wanted to leave their house. I was like, what are we doing here? It's just rain.
It's a big deal.
So wanted to make it rain.
Not throw money.
That too, but that was when we went to Vegas. But I wanted to make it rain, and I just had this other, like, really goofy idea that somehow Seth needed to be hanging upside down in a Spider-Man mask in the rain, kissing Summer by the end of the episode. How that was going to happen... You know, whether we fully achieve that in terms of, like, he's up, he doesn't have an umbrella. He looks goofy in a hat.
Right.
It's his protective rain gear is the Spider-Man mask. The satellite's out. He brings a rope to the roof. I mean,
He's a sailor.
Huh?
He's a sailer. True. He has a rope.
It was a good slip knot. Yep. Whatever they do.
Yeah, that's true. So the incubation was...
It
was sitting in your mind for a while from the start of the OC?
Yeah. It was an idea that was kicking around. Again, not a lot more than that.
Right.
And then fell upon all of our really talented writers to help give a reason for this to, you know, and just, what are we going to do besides, you know, it's raining. That's just not quite enough for an episode, believe it or not. Although it does end up kind of impacting multiple stories in very credible ways, and I will be honest that when I was here the last time to talk about the season 1 finale, that is an episode, as I spoke about, it has like a very emotional kind of feeling, just very nostalgic. There's some stuff going on in my personal life. I just didn't feel like emotionally capable of watching that episode and rewatching that episode. And I was like, well, I'll remember. And then I came in here and you were like breaking it down beat by beat. And I was like, ah, crap. I'm really
You're
not
like,
prepared.
Who's Ryan?
Yeah, not quite. But I was playing the role of Rachel that week. But this week I watched it. I have not watched this episode in 15, 16 years since it aired.
Really?
Wow.
And I'm usually very critical, self-critical, self-loathing. I enjoyed myself.
You did. Really, did. You were live texting me as you were watching it.
I thought it was delightful. It made me laugh, and I enjoyed it. So I'm excited to be here and to talk about
nice.
It.
Nice. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, we're happy that you're here to do so. I really enjoyed this episode. Was it like a pivotal episode?
It was.
Was it airing at a certain time, or what was the deal?
Yeah. I mean, it's episode 14. So, you know, traditionally, the way network television would work, you get your 13 episodes, you get your back nine. This was like one of our shortest seasons. We only did 22 episodes in season two. But this was kind of also an episode that was built to wrap up some storylines. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's sort of the end of the Lindsay storyline, end of the Zach storyline. I gotta say, I found...
This is the end of the Zach storyline?
Well, not the end of the Zach storyline, but like the...
Tap the brakes. You're okay. I love him.
The culmination.
She doesn't remember.
She really doesn't remember.
No, but it's great because I'm rewatching them as everyone else is. Mm-hmm. And I'm going along.
It's like you weren't even there the first time around.
So I have no spoilers because I don't know anything.
Right. You know nothing.
Right.
And also the...
Wait till you get to the end of season three. Have I got a surprise for you?
Okay. The Sandy Rebecca storyline.
Yep. That was another culmination of that. That was a polarizing storyline.
Mm-hmm. I've had many issues with that story.
We'll get into that.
Well,
we will.
That was the third rail of the show that we were like, everybody says you can't mess with, as Julie says, can't mess with, you know, your Sandy and Kirsten.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The moral epicenter of the show.
The moral epicenter. Yeah. Yeah. We'll get into there's so many self-referential things.
When
Summer says, Seth, are you here to actually advance the plot?
Uh-huh. You're right. Yeah. Very uh-huh. meta.
Very meta.
Yeah, yeah. But yes, yeah, so it's the rainy day women mean so much. It reflects the mood of everyone. Everyone's melting down. Mm-hmm. The only person who seems to be, relationships are ending. People are leaving. It's a flood
of emotions. Right. Happening in this episode.
There's all these storylines are wrapping up. People mm-hmm. are leaving. The only person seems to be in a decent place actually is Marissa for once.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, we haven't had you here since the Alex and Marissa storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything?
No. I mean, I think I talked about when we were talking about the pilot that Olivia Wilde had read mm-hmm. for the role of Marissa, and it came down to Misha and Olivia. And we just fell in love with Olivia, and we were like, desperate to figure out how to get her on the show, and so created the role of Alex for her, and she's awesome.
Awesome.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's great. Had chemistry with everybody. Had chemistry with Seth in those scenes. Chemistry with Marissa.
You could put her anywhere.
Yeah. She was really good.
Uh-huh. I noticed that quite a few comments that I discovered were that one of the reasons that people love this show is that it was so satisfying. It had so many great... It wrapped up the storylines, and it was also, you know, we've been... going along, like you said, the first part of the season. So now we're at the half. It marks mm-hmm. the halfway point.
A little past the halfway point. But
just
yeah,
past. And then we're going to get into...
Because Trey's coming.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we've got...
Yes, he is.
And we've got
that
Carter coming. And we've got, mm-hmm. you know, all these things.
Who's Carter? Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay. It's me, but my evil twin. But no, there's so many things that were so satisfying. And there's so many iconic. Obviously, you talked about the Spider-Man kiss, but then there's the kiss with Marissa and Alex, mm-hmm. and these cigar scenes, these little tidbits that just, I think...
We brought back the Summer Breeze.
Right.
Well.
Right. So let's get into it.
Formerly known as the Summer Breeze.
FKA.
Yeah.
FKA.
Well, let's read the synopsis. Summer can't fight it anymore. Seth is the one. Ryan is surprised when Lindsay finds out she's Caleb's daughter, yet makes a difficult decision. Marissa's relationship changes its course when she moves in with Alex.
That was a short synopsis.
Sandy and Kirsten.
Sandy, yeah. That's a pretty big thing that happens. Also, the Sandy, Kirsten, Rebecca triangle mm-hmm. comes to a...
soggy conclusion.
soggy conclusion.
Directed by Michael Fresco, favorite
Love
of the
Fresco,
show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was great. I really remember liking him.
Written by...
It's great that you have a memory.
Josh Schwartz. Do you know... We've tried to reach out to Michael Fresco.
I thought you were going to say, do you know Josh Schwartz? Because we've tried to reach out to him.
He's not available.
He's not available.
Yeah, anyway.
I remember Michael Fresco. I believe his brother is a super talented comedy writer, and Michael kind of moved back and forth between comedy and drama, and didn't he have like a farm in like upstate Washington? Like,
you're asking me?
Well, that's true. or he lived on like a remote part in the Pacific Northwest. He had a little something.
So anyway, this episode opens, first of all, with Blind Melons, No Rain. So it's raining in the OC.
Yeah. So that was the other idea. It was like, it's got to open with Blind Melons, No Rain.
Well, how hard was it to get that song?
Wasn't hard.
Oh. Really?
wasn't, I don't remember it being hard. It was written in the script, wasn't hard. It actually opens, the first voice you hear of like, it's raining in Orange County,
yeah. mm-hmm.
is either Kevin or Bean.
Right.
Who were VJs for K-Rock.
K-Rock. Who were like iconic, who yes. had us on the show, mm-hmm. on their show at the end of season one and you know, talked about the show a bunch.
In fact, I remember that now that you said it, but listening to it, watching the episode, I was like, whoever they got to do that was great because it sounds real.
Yeah.
because honestly, that was probably, you know, every time it rains, the four times it rains every year, it's true. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But what a wonderful opener. And also you had some other iconic 90s songs throughout this, and that was the 90s nostalgia was kind of a choice, I would imagine.
I think it's just imbued in us.
Oh, it did.
Yeah. Okay.
So as we cross this kind of epically dark, and that is how dark it gets when it rains.
Well, and
that
also
hard.
That they reworked all of the footage, all the establishing shots, all of the
helicopter added
rain to all the shots.
Hmm. Which was harder back then.
Like special effects,
right? We got each cell out of film and we colored it in ourselves by hand.
Yeah, you did that.
Yeah, no. They were able to do it. It looked pretty good.
It looked like it was raining.
And we had all these rain machines in the stages.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that being so catches to like, I think we flooded a few
things.
Yeah, how
it drains. It's like a whole technical thing, right?
Yeah, because these sets are built indoors and then you added rain machines. It's not...
Yeah, and then you have to have things to like... where the water has to go somewhere and catch the water and recycle it back up. And
it's like a ride at Universal or something. The way the water's recycled, you have to do it on a set.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really remember the specific mechanics of how we made it rain, but I know it was a big logistical undertaking and they pulled it off really well.
They did.
The other thing that I think is important to point out with the logistics with rain is that we shoot 24 frames, right? 24 to 30 frames. And to make the water...
Can you explain that? I don't even know what that means.
It's the speed of the frame, but so that the frame can
capture... People might want to know.
People understand.
I guess I'm not people.
But to actually see the rain on film, we have to literally torrential downpour. The pure amount of water is huge. It's way more than a California drizzle or just mm-hmm. a light rain. It's a lot. So when we open with... Ryan opening the curtains mm-hmm. and Seth looking out, it's pretty intense mm-hmm. and hysterical, their
reactions.
Yeah,
some nice silent comedy, physical comedy
from
both of them. Yeah,
yeah.
Delightful. It's like a little silent film at the beginning of who's going to lure the other one out from the pool house. And obviously, Seth tries to work the bagels in.
Yeah.
Ryan's not feeling
it. Which he does have a fair point. Like, he's in the kitchen. There is no kitchen
Ryan's
in the pool house.
Eventually, Ryan's going to have to come out there.
I love when Ben does any comedy.
He does there's a big gag I completely forgotten about
the
when he's climbing
physical,
in the window.
Yep.
Yeah,
you have physical comedy from Ben, mm-hmm. which is great when we get there.
He made me laugh. Ben made me laugh several times in this episode.
Yeah. I don't know if you obviously you haven't been listening. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Since you have listened, but not always, Ben is my new boyfriend. I'm watching the show
She's
and I'm realizing
in love with Ben
that I
watching.
Love Ryan.
This is all a long con to try to get Mackenzie on the show, but God bless. I support it.
No,
would
oh
it
my
work?
God, wait, I was watching a movie the other night.
Yeah.
What was it? I Want You Back with Jenny Slate. And no, I'm watching it. I had no idea. And Charlie Day. And, and all of a sudden I'm like, is that Ben? Like, I had to pause it and I tried to get a picture of it to post it, but it was not a nice, flattering screenshot I got, so I didn't. But I almost texted you that it was him, and it was him. It's one scene.
Right.
Oh, nice.
It was nice to see him.
He's a great guy.
Yes. So, the boys are trying to lure them, each other, to out in the rain.
Yeah.
Right. Instead, they call on the phone.
On their flip phones.
Of course, Seth is discussing the fact that he's going to lose Summer forever. He's lost her already.
Yes, he has.
Because that's all he can talk about. He's himself. Which is okay.
Teenage boy. Teenage boy. Come on.
Teenage boy. Yes. Sorry. I'm not insulting him. I'm just...
We can insult him. It's okay.
And Ryan hasn't seen Lindsay since she rushed out on him at the party.
Oh.
Right. So he's kind of
when
like...
When they say they don't know if Caleb is her father. We didn't remember that... of course, I didn't. But Melinda didn't remember that happening in the show. That... It was like...
Well, that was the big
Christmas. I didn't remember...
A DNA test. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't
it's
remember...
It's a staple of the nighttime soaps is somebody's got to take a DNA test.
I just didn't remember the scene where Renee says he may not be the father.
Oh, that's what
it was.
I was
like,
what? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember that part.
Well, yeah. You know, you got to throw the audience off the scent.
Yeah. You can't just like, there's no direct line.
No.
If you ever question anything, that Mm-mm. would be boring. Mm-mm. There'd be nothing to talk about.
It's true.
No.
Right. But what happens with the boys now? I don't even remember. Ben Wise, whatever.
We can't expect you to hold on to these memories for more than 48 hours.
They just have to have
total,
their morning.
Do you know
total
I even
recall.
Had it?
Just having, yeah.
I had the episode playing this morning, just like in
refresh.
The background, so just to kind of catch things.
Must be so hard to be you.
It is.
Yeah.
They just decide that, you know, they have their morning therapy session, which mm-hmm. is something that they have to do every morning. It's
right.
a ritual.
When you live with Seth. But then we have this. I love this
You
song.
Basically are Drew Barrymore in 51st.
Dates. I know.
Like in real life.
I have told this all the time. Okay.
It's not a compliment, but okay. All right. So, yeah. In Every Sunflower. Okay.
Have you seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I remember it too.
Eternal Sunshine of Bilson's Mind. Okay. So.
So, Rachel, I've always been a big fan of planning ahead, scheduling trips months in advance, plotting out my next career move, figuring out what I'm doing for dinner while I'm still eating breakfast. I do that every day. But I actually didn't do a lot of planning for kids.
But for those who know they want kids, plan ahead with the help of Modern Fertility. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days.
You'll get insight into your hormone levels, your ovarian reserve, aka how many eggs you have compared to other women your age, and other important fertility factors. The results go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps.
Traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000, but Modern Fertility gets you the same info at $159, a fraction of the price. And if you go to modernfertility.com/OC, you can get $20 off your test.
Also, if you have an HSA or FSA, you can put those dollars toward Modern Fertility.
Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OC.
That means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OC. Modernfertility.com/OC. Finding that perfect skincare routine is never easy. And with my skin concerns, I have super dry skin. I mean, I still get acne and I'm 40. It's a little unsettling. I used to buy tons of products, which made my routine a 10-step process, but that all changed when I started using Proven Skincare.
Proven Skincare is rooted in science. They have analyzed the universe of skincare by studying the effectiveness of over 20,000 skincare ingredients from over 100,000 skincare products and over 28 million testimonials. All this data has given Proven the ability to pinpoint exactly what your skin needs.
And all of this analysis results in Proven Skincare's custom 3-step system that actually works, including a personalized cleanser, day moisturizer with SPF, and personalized night cream. This simple and effective system replaces my shelf full of products.
Oh, this is one of my favorite products.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That I was introduced to because of this podcast. I'm such a fan of the entire system. The cleanser, it's kind to my skin. The moisturizer, the daily one has SPF. But my favorite is the night cream. I use Tretinoin. How do you say that? Tretinoin. And that means that I need a really good moisturizer. I just love all the products.
Yeah, for me, all my moisturizers in the past never had SPF in it. And I know how important that is for your daily routine. Proven Skincare has solved that for me.
Plus, your formulations are updated every 8 weeks to evolve with you based on changes in your skin or environment and your skin's acclimation to active ingredients. Mine just changed now that it's getting warmer.
Give your skin exactly what it needs with Proven Skincare. Go to provenskincare.com to take the free skin genome quiz and use code THEOC for $20 off your first order.
That's provenskincare.com. Code THEOC for $20 off your first order. ProvenSkincare.com, code THEOC. So let's move into the Cohen bedroom.
Yeah,
now,
dark.
This song.
We also have some very ominous, well-placed thunder and lightning happening throughout this episode. Just
right. Is that added after?
Yeah, I mean, there's like some light effects
light
and
effects,
stuff.
Light effects, yeah.
Yeah.
But in Every Sunflower by Bell X1, this song reminds me of this time.
Yes.
Like,
we used a few of their songs
So good.
It's really so good. It's very haunting.
Dark. Yeah, it's haunting. It's, and I don't remember if it was scripted this way or if this was an idea of Matt Ramsey, our editor, or somebody else to have it sort of, you know, recur throughout
yeah,
the throughout
it does
the episode.
It repeats whenever Rebecca shows up throughout the show.
It's the Rebecca dirge. It's the Rebecca funeral dirge, yeah.
Oh, God.
But we haven't seen... So last we saw, Sandy was a asshole to her at the party saying, I don't know if I trust you. Rebecca's taken off. And she's like, oh, then we've got some big problems.
Oh, right, because Kirsten mm-hmm. confronts Rebecca and is like, are you in love with my husband?
Yeah. Fair.
Right. Yeah.
So we haven't seen... So all we know is that Rebecca's gone and we see Kirsten in bed and all I can think is, well, she's gone at least, but now I'm depressed. And of course, 10 a.m. is like staying in bed all day. Yeah. You know, it's not that... You know.
Yeah.
That's wild.
But he's, you know, he does that thing where he's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry you're feeling this way. Not I'm sorry for what I've done, but I'm sorry you're feeling. And then the phone rings. She says, and he's like, Rebecca. And she, Kirsten, now I'm up. Like that lights
out.
A fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we just pause for a minute to shout out Sandy Cohen's like board shorts?
Well, yeah. Did he go surfing?
Surfing in the rain. Sandy doesn't care. We're just going to get wet.
I mean, there's lightning, but you know, let's risk it.
Maybe he got out there. He checked it out. He saw a flash of lightning, thought it wasn't safe.
Do we
home.
Ever see Sandy actually surf?
No.
Well, that was, I that did make been
a,
that note.
I mean, that's a challenging thing to shoot in, you know.
Yeah.
But we've seen him like near beach adjacent.
Right. With the surfboard.
With the surfboard.
That counts.
I did make that note, but I didn't know if you'd have a comment on that.
On
but
what?
The fact
what?
That he was wearing board shorts. I couldn't tell if he's coming from a shower or surfing, but surfing. Let's
my
say
guess
surfing.
Is, my guess is Sandy woke up and was like, I'm not going to let a little rain stop me. I'm going to get my reps in,
which
whatever surfers say.
Is a lot of times surfers don't surf because the water can be really dirty after a rain, but you know.
Interesting.
Well, we didn't say he did surf. We just said he went out there.
He's like, and
took a peek and said, you know, not today.
Right. But he does that. And Rebecca, and sure enough, she's in a diner. Like, she's back. I thought you just left. And now she's doing the same thing to him of, I didn't want to leave without saying goodbye. And,
right.
mm-hmm. you know, stay where you are. I'll come get you. And Kirsten walks off the way Kelly would walk off. You know, that's just my two cents.
Well,
like, she's pissed.
I mean, also, I think, you know, in defense of Sandy Cohen.
Yes. Interesting.
She's his client.
Right.
And he wants to make sure that she gets the proper, like, you know, he's like, don't run. We can still fight this. Like, I do think sometimes Sandy's moral purity in when it comes to issues of the law, his sense of righteousness maybe sometimes clouded his, you know, his sense of how he was affecting his wife in that moment.
Because by this episode, I started thinking, he's the one that really wants this. Rebecca's been saying, I don't even want to do this. It's too scary. And he's been fighting for, let's get you amnesty.
Right.
More than her.
Yeah. Because I think he's an idealistic guy. And I think he's just trying to make sure that she ends up
I think that's
place,
a fair
long-term.
Point, just because of how much enthusiasm there is, even if she's on the phone in front of Kirsten, that he's not.
I think, yeah, his sense as a lawyer in that moment,
right.
I think, clouded his kind of awareness of what
right.
it was doing to Kirsten.
Yes.
He knew he had the right intentions, which he does through the whole episode.
Right, right.
He holds the line.
And but there are moments in this that I'd point out where I'm like, gosh, what's going on in Kirsten's head right here? Like, what's going mm-hmm. on? Like, what is she thinking? What is she... And she's been incredibly cool throughout a lot of this, I think. But throughout everything, like the last episode, when he gets so angry at her for talking to Rebecca, it's what a gut punch that must be for her. Like, she's just trying to navigate these waters and survive here. She probably feels like she's being pulled under
I'm
a bit.
Team Kirsten, this whole storyline.
Well, when we started the storyline, Miss Rachel, you were so excited about it.
Well, it was interesting.
She's liking the adult storylines.
Oh, yeah. That's my other thing. I'm like, I love the adult storylines.
They were good.
Watching as like a 40-year-old, you're like, I can relate to this now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we had a broader audience than your average teenage show.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then we go to Julie and Caleb's house.
Yes.
Julie is making bagels.
Making bagels.
Soon they'll be keeping kosher.
Right.
That's what she said,
I remember this episode vividly, and I remember the scene and how much fun it was. It just was so, you could just see how much fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, she instantly is doing that. Well, the Cohens, I mean, this like pushing on the bagel maker very delicately. And I got to say, there's something very genuine about this because, yes, I grew up in Orange County, but...
No.
But I didn't know what a matzo ball was until I moved to LA.
That is crazy to me.
You didn't know what a matzo ball was.
I didn't know what matzo ball soup was until I worked at Jerry's Deli.
Well, you worked at Jerry's Deli?
Well, Starkey's. It was in the Beverly Center.
Oh. That must have been a crash course. In, oh, you're like, what is...
Oh, totally.
What's Kishka? What's a knish?
No, yeah. I mean, and my parents, and we didn't have bagels, so I can...
You didn't have bagels?
No, we had English muffins.
Bagels have gone more mainstream.
Totally. You'd say they weren't as mainstream
in the 70s.
I have no perspective on this because I was like basically born and placed upon a bagel. Like that was instead of a bassinet. My first thing that I teethed on was like a stale bagel. Like that's all we knew.
Right, right.
But you know,
yeah,
I was
I guess
an East
that's
Coast
true.
Jew. So I
and
know.
I'm a halfer, so I grew up with it as well. Yeah. Okay, I can't say. But that's very interesting.
No, I think it's I bet this show
it's
is
probably a great
helpful.
Story of when bagels finally made it behind the orange curtain.
Totally. And it was after the OC came
Mindy
on.
Will find it.
No. Yeah, I'll find it. Right.
But I did have the thought that that would have been a really good wrap gift for everybody is one of those
bagel
slicers.
Oh, the
bagel slicer.
Guillotines. Yeah. Yeah.
Bagel guillotines. Yep.
That's what they're called. Hot.
Is that what they're called?
I don't know if that's
they
their official
be.
Title, but yeah.
But that's good.
So oh my God.
You got to be careful. Can we just sidebar here for a moment?
Yes. Because
if the bagel is too soft sometimes and you put it in the guillotine,
it
doesn't slice, it smushes. And it's so, you know, it's not a perfect bagel.
It's not a wait. That reminds me.
Oh.
What episode? We brought up Matt Miller and the Matt Miller sandwich, and I was like, I cannot pitch this sandwich. I cannot say it exactly. Only Schwartz can.
I mean,
why
I,
did it come up?
Because,
do you remember?
Because Matt Miller was the name in one of the episodes.
Matt Miller was a character.
Right.
And I said, Matt Miller is one of Schwartz's best. And I went into the whole spiel about Canner's Deli and the Matt Miller.
Yeah, he had a sandwich.
And it consists of turkey and...
I mean, we're doing it?
Yes, do it.
All right, I have to do it as Matt Miller. Matt... You're not going to watch this, but if you do, if someone passes this along to you, I this is to promote your sandwich only. So Matt has a Philly accent. He's out of Philly. So the way he would pitch the sandwich and the way he pitched it to Canner's and got it on the menu was, we open with an egg bread or a challah. Turkey, Munster, the most underrated of all cheeses, slaw in, shut it down and grill it. It's in the Reuben family. That was the Matt Miller saying.
See? Worth it.
There you go.
I said, I cannot. We need things.
It's hard to do with headphones on. I do it better,
you
Matt Miller, when
no,
I can't hear
did.
My own voice. Okay. But it's fine.
It's still, amazing.
Okay.
It holds up.
It's still played.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to Canner's.
Go
on
to
that
Canner's,
note.
Have a Matt. It's called the Matt Special. Okay.
The Matt Special. On that
so,
note,
Alex and Marissa
and
are
Marissa
making out. Yeah.
Making out behind Julie's back.
Yes.
Which was funny.
Which is very funny.
Well, I mean, the first thing is she says hello to Marissa. And Alex is there and she's like, oh, you're the feisty girl that Caleb told me about. And do you want a bagel? And she's like, oh, I don't eat breakfast. And Julie's like, oh, how punk of you.
Yeah, very punk. Yeah.
I used to be a little punk in my day. But it's
who am I kidding? It's still my day. Yeah.
Who am I kidding? Yeah. It's still my day. Yeah. But she instantly recognizes, she becomes like mean girl, you know, like that recognition of she's a cool girl. Mm-hmm. And
right.
I need her to know just how cool I was. Just like
yeah, we get some insights into Julie Cooper's sorted past. Something about Motley Crue.
Motley Crue, some Jaeger.
Some sexual experimentation
right.
took
only,
place.
Yep.
Only phases, which
yeah,
is so
phases.
Derogatory.
Well, right. I mean, obviously, would this episode have been written in 2022, we probably have a more evolved view of things. But also Newport Beach, some conservative enclaves there where maybe things haven't even evolved since 2004.
Right. Yes, that is true.
Well, as she turns around and comments on the rain, of course, as a fan favorite, seeing them making out and the music in the background and just having so much fun. And of course...
It's nice to see Marissa having fun.
Absolutely.
I know.
And Misha did... I remember doing... In this scene, there was something... Misha just did a great job.
She did.
Yeah.
She's
did a
got
fantastic
some really light,
job.
Fun moments in this episode. And it was nice. Yeah, it was nice to see. Yeah.
And the way she did the milk and, you know, it's... And oh no, mom, she's my girlfriend. She's like, I know. She's like, no, my girlfriend, that's a girl. I know. And then just like...
Bye.
Yeah. Mouth drop.
Yep.
That's funny. I mean, she didn't... And Julie didn't like...
Drinking milk, swigging milk straight out of the carton.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
With the milk mustache.
Which I feel like... I was trying to remember if that was a deliberate homage, but we got offered... The cast got offered a Got Milk campaign.
Oh.
We didn't do it.
You guys turned it down.
Oh, really?
I bet I wouldn't
would
have turned it down.
I would not be included
The
in
one
that.
Thing I turned down, which I don't... I still
The Letterman
struggle
top 10
with.
List, the cast turned that one down too. First cast to be asked to do the top 10 list. since The Sopranos. You guys turned that down.
You say you guys, okay? This was not something... The only thing I remember turning down was the cover of Rolling Stone because they asked me to show my ass.
And?
And I said, no, I'm not going to show my ass.
How do you feel about that today?
I'm still on the fence.
All right.
Well, I mean, because like my ass would be out there like, meh. I have
Let's
a kid.
Let's be honest. Your ass has been out there.
The pilot, my ass was out there.
Yeah. I mean, come on. What
Got
are we talking
milk
about here?
Would have been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't have said no to that. Don't
David Letterman top 10 list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was a supporting
And you
role.
Turned down the Super Bowl commercial.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
Oh.
Yes, you did.
What Super Bowl commercial?
You got, oh, my God. You. How do I? Yes. You were offered a Super Bowl commercial.
Me or all of us?
You. And you passed and it went to Ava Longoria. That I remember.
Whoa, this is good stuff.
Why would I do such a thing?
Too cool for school. That's why. But anyway.
I passed on it. Yeah. You know why? I sometimes let people around me influence me a little too much.
I think
I'm going to leave it at that.
Those people were not me. You should have had me influence you.
I know. Well, now I always come to you with everything.
Yeah.
And Schwartz is like, yes, no, yes, no, definitely no. Anyways.
Okay.
I did not remember that. Was it Pepsi or something? No.
Yeah.
Wow. I can imagine that there were quite a few things.
My mind is blown
left
right
and right.
Now.
I mean, I remember Misha doing Neutrogena and doing a lot of campaigns, but I don't remember people doing.
Well,
tons
it becomes
of campaigns.
Tricky with people who want to, you know, do their own thing versus do things as a cast versus not. You know, it was also a period of time where there was enough Gen X in our cast's blood that, you know, that concept of like selling out or what mm-hmm. feels too mm-hmm. commercial, mm-hmm. which obviously has been obliterated in the Instagram age.
Right.
Where it's all about like promotion and what have you. You can't sell out anymore. But back mm-hmm. then you could. And God bless, everybody had integrity or making decisions that they thought were in the best interest of their own kind of artistic pursuits. So some of these things were turned down. It's not a judgment by me, but I feel like the milk thing may have been a bit of a wink and a nod.
There was a long period of time where...
You just can't get over the Super Bowl
commercial. I can't get over the Super Bowl commercial.
I love the thrift shops. I have a lot where I live, some really cool ones. But, you know, rummaging through things, especially like when it's a really hot day, let's just say I have to be in the mood for it. And ThredUp makes it so easy because it's all organized online.
At ThredUp, one of the largest online consignment and thrift stores, you can get one-of-a-kind finds from brands like Zara, J.Crew, and more for up to 90% off estimated retail. It's such a steal and so fun to visit their website daily.
Yes, with over 2 million like-new items to shop and thousands of new arrivals daily, it's the best place to shop for your wallet and the planet.
I love thrifting. I don't love thrift stores. Now, thanks to ThredUp, I can do it from the comfort of my home.
Customize your search by your size, style, and budget so you can find the best deals from more than 35,000 brands like Banana Republic, Madewell, Nike, and Ann Taylor Loft instantly. I've never been much of an online shopper, but I've become one since we've had to be at home so much. And I love finding treasures on ThredUp.
ThredUp is offering a deal just for new customers. So right now, head to ThredUp.com and get up to an additional 50% off plus free shipping on your first order.
That's up to an extra 50% off plus free shipping on your first order just by heading to ThredUp.com.
That's ThredUp.com for up to 50% off and free shipping on your first order.
Shopify presents cool sheets from AHA to...
I suffered from the wrong kind of hot in bed, heat-induced insomnia. That was my aha moment. Bed sheets that keep you cool. Then I thought, how do I even sell bed sheets? That's when I had the idea that made it all possible, signing up on Shopify.
This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/podcast22. Shopify.com/podcast22.
Okay, Lindsay's room.
She plays the oboe. You keep calling it a clarinet. It is an oboe.
You're right. I'm wrong.
It's the saddest instrument.
It's the saddest instrument.
Whose idea was it for her to play the oboe?
It was not mine. I feel like that had to be like a John Stevens
or
JJ or
some duck.
Lila, Stephanie. I don't know. Yeah.
The duck in Peter and the Wolf getting eaten because the oboe is the duck, you know?
Oh.
And what? I was like, do you know Peter and the Wolf?
No.
Okay.
You turned it down.
Because I was going to get eaten. Anyway, so she's playing the oboe. Her hair looks beautiful in this scene, by the way. But now Ryan wouldn't go see Seth, but he braves, and he admittedly It says,
rode his
bad,
bike.
Bad choice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bad decision, wasn't well thought out, but I rode my bike to...
In the rain.
We're assuming, obviously, this isn't the fancy part of... This isn't Pelican Cove. This is somewhere else, like in deep Costa Mesa, I would assume.
Okay.
So it's...
Sure.
the other side of the
tracks. Do
you have
a map? Can we put a map up? We'll put some thumbtacks up.
And, right.
Yeah, and this is a big bit of physical comedy here.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about it, and I left.
Me too.
Yeah, he just topples through that window.
He topples through that window.
Yeah.
He committed.
He did commit.
There's also something really, there's a lot of tropes in this episode that work, and one of them is the actors being wet. You know, there's
people
something
are very
really
wet. Ben, no one is wetter in this episode than Ben. The end of the episode,
yes,
it's true.
He has to also go in the water to rest, possibly rescue Lindsay in the ocean in the episode,
a prior episode.
But so I don't know. He looks hot to me. In this. It's just weird.
He did not have protective headgear like Seth. What do you expect? So he's there, and Lindsay's the DNA test, and. You know, that old chestnut.
Yep.
So she thinks that she didn't answer the door because she thinks it was Caleb, and because Caleb wants her to take the DNA test, and she doesn't know, she doesn't want to, and
she wants to go to. She's thinking about going to Chicago.
All right, Summer's bedroom.
What is this? Oh God, I have that yellow dress on.
That was an awesomely hideous dress.
It really does look like lemon meringue.
Yeah. And this is where we introduce Seth at the door wearing the Spider-Man mask.
This is
how we start to try to buy the credibility that this is how Seth
braves the rain.
He's just your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And Brody would have been a great Spider-Man.
He always wanted to be Spider-Man.
He would have been a great Peter Parker.
Yeah, he would have.
Which was also part of the motivation of like,
yeah.
He was always mad
that he wasn't cast as Peter Parker.
The first movie had already come out,
right?
Or first two, because the kiss is from Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right.
I think it is Spider-Man 2 Kiss.
Yes, you're right. Yep.
So the idea of it being this is the only headgear I've got that's waterproof.
That's waterproof. Yeah.
Looking back at it now, you're like, it works.
It works.
Yeah. Seth is a very odd person.
Yeah.
And I don't look weird in a hat. And
I'm gonna wear the Spider-Man mask.
Yeah.
But he goes to tell Summer. What is he trying to tell her? Don't go.
He's there to say don't go. And then he sees all the suitcases. Light packer.
Many suitcases.
Light packer.
I can relate.
You say, I'm in the wedding. And I think
that's what Joel's like, you're part of the family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is odd that she's in the wedding after meeting the sister.
Stranger things have happened.
The line that made me laugh was when Zach, I guess this is later, is talking about his sister and how she's very alienating and severe.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't have any other friends.
Yeah.
But so that's how Zach's high school girlfriend ends up as a bridesmaid.
Yeah. Which she's marrying is believable.
She's marrying Rodolfo.
In Italy.
I think it sounds like a good spinoff. I think, you know.
Yeah.
Zach's family.
Yeah. There's a lot of spinoffs.
What happened to Rodolfo?
We never saw that.
Left at the altar? It was unclear. She was definitely having second thoughts.
She was definitely having second thoughts.
But this is where that line of dialogue, which is awesome. Should we do this again, or did you actually come here to advance the plot?
Yeah. We did a lot of that. Just being like, it's another Seth Summers scene at the door. We've done a lot of these.
And he chickens out again.
Is he going to move the story forward?
Yeah,
or is it just a
check-in?
Yeah.
In on the joke. We know how many times this has happened, guys. Right?
Yep. Yep.
Well, there's a big in on the joke coming later, which is what Seth is going to watch.
The night that the satellite dish goes out.
We'll get there.
Okay. Yes, we'll get to that. Okay, so then.
We're at the diner.
Mm-hmm.
And was this a real diner? I couldn't remember. I could not figure out where this was.
Versus our set?
Versus a set diner.
We had a diner set.
We did.
Yeah, this was different.
Sandy meets Rebecca. I don't know.
Anyway, they're at a diner. Save It for a Rainy Day by the Jayhawks plays. And
do you guys see a theme with the songs?
Oh, yeah.
No rain, Save It for a Rainy Day. See what's happening?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, thanks for playing.
my note was, Sandy doesn't give up. He's not giving up.
He's very dogged.
Yeah.
He didn't give up on Ryan.
That's true.
You know, this is part of his character.
And now we have a show.
That's true. What if he had just said in the pilot when Kirsten's like, can't bring him, it's not a stray puppy, and he just went,
You're right.
All right.
Right.
It was like a seven-minute show. And that was
he is that guy.
Yeah.
He did save Ryan.
Yeah.
So
we understand. We understand. Okay, fine.
And this shows you how dedicated he is. It's messing with his marriage.
Yep.
And he's still this dedicated to helping her because he knows it's right.
Oh, Sandy.
But okay.
All right, let's go to Alex's. Marissa tells Alex that she told her mom.
She runs in soaking wet and hot and sexy looking. Sorry, I'm saying that about Misha. She's not my real daughter.
It's your daughter.
Yeah. But no, once again, she's looking all like excited. But no, but then Alex says, wait, did you say it to piss her off?
Right.
Marissa gets that a lot.
Alex is smart, though.
Yeah. She's insightful. Very smart.
Because that's a
she's
good question.
She's been through it. And
yeah,
is...
well, also, like, is this real or is this just like a rebellious thing uh-huh. you're doing to, you know, make a point?
Right.
She's been through it. She knows all the tricks and she actually really has very real feelings for Marissa. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they both do, but
yeah,
but I think...
this is a relationship is very real.
I know. And we can talk about this relationship was controversial.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At the time. And I've talked about this before a little bit, but we definitely had plans to keep Alex on the show longer than we were,
right.
than we did. But it was a post Janet Jackson, you know, wardrobe malfunction.
I had to bring up the Super Bowl again.
Why do I bring it up every time I'm
here? I've just gotten over it. No, my commercial.
Oh, right. yeah, I guess your commercial would have aired during that Super Bowl. no, it probably wouldn't have timed out that way. But so there was the wardrobe malfunction and the FCC and broadcast standards just became extremely mm-hmm. strict for this period of time. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I remember there was a promotion for the episode that was like hyping the first kiss between Marissa and Alex.
Yeah.
And then what we were actually allowed to air was like a fraction of the length of that kiss when they're sitting together on the beach at night.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it was something we would have kept Olivia for right. who knows how long.
We talked about that, that you felt like it.
The
we
first
lost
kiss,
all credibility
yeah.
when they promoted it so heavily, but then the actual visual was
like
kind of
a peck.
Yeah, yeah.
Which wasn't what we shot.
Yeah.
And felt more exploitative than I think we were going for in terms of the storyline.
Right.
Okay. Well.
yeah, and now let's go back to Lindsay's bedroom and the DNA test. They return from the maternity test.
Then they get all hot and heavy.
They're making out.
It's pretty hot and heavy.
Ryan, you know.
He's second to pizza.
What?
They start talking
about
pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No deep dish, thin crust all the way.
Yeah, no Chicago shit.
Where do you guys come out on deep dish versus thin crust? I feel like this is what people want to know.
I am a fan of the, what's the place in the valley?
Gino's,
very good. Also Town in Highland Park, their Detroit pizza is fucking amazing.
Hmm.
And it's deep dish.
It's more like a pie when it's a deep dish.
Yeah, it's very filling.
I love thin crisp.
Thin and crispy.
Thin and crispy.
I like both. Why not? Why can't
I like
you have
it all.
Both?
I'm with you.
Okay. Oh, very okay. filling though.
Oh, Newport Group. Here we go.
No easy way to say goodbye. So Joel Evans and Friends, please.
This probably was this may have been one of my favorite episodes or scenes that I've ever
had. I actually
had
a distinct memory of writing this scene. I was home for Thanksgiving visiting my parents. And for whatever reason, I remember writing the scene in a chair in my bedroom.
Really?
Like my
childhood bedroom. And you're like, they're going to be smoking cigars.
Yeah, and Julie's got the cigar, you know.
What did you write here on your notes? The cigar cutter would...
Oh, it reminded me of Bobbit.
Well, that's exactly what it's supposed to remind
right?
you of.
Right, because she's that's like, that's what I want to do to Caleb.
Yeah.
Which is actually a word in the dictionary that means to cut off a penis.
Bobbit?
Yep. They, after Lauren Bobbit.
The words that made it into Webster's this year.
yeah.
Bobbit.
Lorena. Sorry.
right?
What did I say?
You said
whatever.
Bobbit.
You were close.
Lorena.
I know Bobbit.
I might be wrong.
Yeah, I think you're definitely more right than I would be. Anyway.
So in the scene, first of all, I do have to comment on the fact that this was probably the closest to just Mindy and Kelly hanging
yeah.
out.
Yeah, it felt
it's
like
fun.
It.
Because there was a period of time where I was into cigars for about a couple months. I actually did the cover of Smoke magazine, which sounds awful, but it's a cigar.
While you were on the OC?
It's okay.
Yes. I had the red hair.
They offered it to Rachel. She turned it down.
but there was a time where cigars were like kind of cool. And yeah. Kelly, of
cigar
course.
Cigar aficionado.
Yes.
That was a big, there was all the cigar bars. Schwarzenegger was a big proponent.
Yes. Yeah.
And cigars had a moment.
The Cuban, what was the there's the cigar club in Beverly Hills.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that
oh,
we
yeah,
used to
yeah,
go
yeah.
to
you
in the late 90s.
Humidor locker.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Great times there. But that was about it. But no, Smoke magazine was the lesser version of
cigar aficionado. Right.
And, but Kelly, it was like, you know, there were certain things, she's very healthy and conscious of that.
Yeah.
There were certain things she wouldn't do. I was shocked that she said okay to it. And I think it took a little...
Did they give you an actual...
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, we were smoking them in there. And her face is exactly it. And I'm like, yeah, no problem.
Throwing down some scotch.
Yeah.
Talking about your problems.
The old days. Okay.
Seeds planted of the dating app that would come.
But in that situation, that in that moment where she says, you know, I'm here and you know, my marriage is in trouble. And Julie's like, ooh, gossip. Yeah. Let's break it open. Yeah. Let's go. Let's go. And then she says, you know, okay, go ahead. And she's like, well, my husband's on the run with his ex. And she's like, well, I'll raise you.
Right. My husband is harboring a fugitive who happens to be his ex-girlfriend. Yeah.
Well, I'll... What is it?
I'll raise you a fugitive ex-girlfriend with a lesbian daughter.
And a lesbian daughter. She's like, Marissa? Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, it's a phase. Well, it was for me. But then she says, you know, you and Sandy, seriously, you're the center, the moral center
of the show, which was the audience's point of view as well, which is why we were like, let's go fuck with it.
So naturally.
At this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you have taken that further? The Rebecca Sandy storyline had the audience. No,
because it's all written. We don't know what the audience reaction is going to be. I think people had a bigger reaction to it than...
Anticipated,
considering it was fairly chaste, but people really did rely on Sandy and Kirsten to be, you know, the moral center of the show. But obviously, Kirsten has more. I don't want to spoil anything for you, but Kirsten's got some rougher waters ahead by the season.
There's some
finale.
Emotional damage that's not healed just by
that's coming at the end of the season. Yeah.
But so watching this, I felt very confused because it
in a
wasn't
good way?
So. In a good way, you're like, I could see, you know, I remember it before rewatching it, I remember it being very antagonizing for the audience and people's reaction to it. But then I was watching, I'm like, it's not that bad. So there was this confusion and frustration.
I think it's when they had their kiss that was the, you know, in hindsight, but got a rise at it. I mean, it got a reaction. I mean, I feel like.
Yeah, sure did.
It wasn't a good one.
It got people talking and it all worked out.
But right. Now, Sandy, they're driving and the road's washed out because there's only one way back.
Well, also, when it rains in Southern California, very quickly, the roads do get washed out.
It's true.
I had a picture of
where
this is.
The rain was going to affect the drive. The rain was going to affect the plane taking off for Italy. The rain's just causing havoc everywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Another trope. But then I was, you know, trying to picture where this would be, and you guys could look this up. Maybe they're on the Ortega Highway, and he had to go to Hemet to get her, and because that's anyway,
Hemet,
and they had to go back. Lodging is up the road. How convenient.
Now one of the best songs in the episode.
Yes, this scene made me laugh. Yeah,
Boys to Men, End of the Road plays as Seth lies on his bed.
So we went to a charity event, all of us, in season one.
Yeah.
And Boys to Men performed.
Really?
You were there. Oh, my God. And
I love Boys to Men.
I'm aware. So everybody reacted. You were like so psychotically into it. Everybody was like, and it was like just Boys to Men. So that is what inspired putting Boys to Men. Into this episode.
He's sad, and what would...
Because it's not really in the musical vernacular of Seth Cohen to listen to Boys to Men, but as he said, it is the saddest song I've ever known.
Did you have a sad song, Rachel? Would it have been this?
Yeah, for sure. I listened to like Coast 103.5 in my day. Sad
so
love songs.
I was listening to 70s love songs this morning, but mine was All at Once, Whitney Houston.
Mm.
That's a good song. I loved this scene though with Seth and Ryan. Yep. The dialogue in it, like everything. It was
it was
great
funny.
Scene.
It was fun. They played off each other. They have such
Eureka,
great chemistry.
Ryan.
Yeah, the Eureka stuff. And when he goes, you freaking Eureka. That was like classic Brody, you know, putting improv. A little sauce on it. And he's turned this music off. It's depressing me. As he storms out. And they were kind of going back and forth of like, if you see any more flaws in the plan, could you, if I wanted my parade rained on, I'd step outside. It was
very
fun.
Good
was
banter good. Going on.
I was like,
and they're just so fun together.
They are
so fun. Yeah. And he's like, I wrote, why does South have to be so complicated? Because he's endearing that way. But you know, this, I need a grand gesture
because
getting the boat back will be grander than Tuscany.
Yeah. makes sense to me.
Sure. Well, Ryan's like, yeah, no problem. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Grander than Tuscany.
Yeah.
Yep. That tracks.
You freaking Rika.
You freaking Rika.
And then what did he improv on the way back out?
Turn the song off. It's depressing.
That was
me.
An improv?
I can't remember, but it sounded like, felt like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm over it.
Yeah, right. It felt like it.
The little Seth button. Okay.
Guy was funny, man.
He was.
Brody's funny. Funny guy.
He is a funny guy.
Funny guy.
Okay, so the song continues to play. We're in Summer's room.
By the way, on CD.
Yeah.
Panning off of like the CD stereo.
I miss a good boombox, with a CD player.
Yeah,
well,
they're out there.
We all, our daughters all have Walkmans.
Yeah, Rachel
now.
Has gotten my daughters each Walkman.
Real one?
Cassette
Real
Walkman. One,
cassette Walkman.
Cassette Walkmans. Yes. Awesome.
With like, you know, a limited cassette collection to start with, but they would just
well,
listen.
Well, it's hard to come by, you know?
She was going to buy my younger one, who was turning 7, the Ariana Grande cassette.
I didn't know!
And I was like, do you not, have you, look at the, and I sent her the lyrics, and they are, one of the songs is just called 34 plus 35. I'll let you do the math on your own and figure out what that song's about.
I didn't know. But then I got some classics, like Janet Jackson.
You did. And then I went on eBay, and I bought 25 cassettes of like.
It's all eBay.
It's all eBay, and then they stopped using it.
Have your daughters looked at it and gone, well, so what's this thing?
No, they're constantly going like, doesn't work, Dad. And I'm like, you have to flip the cassette because it's round out on one side.
Uh-huh. And they haven't had it get cut up and fixed it with a pencil.
It ate Billie Eilish, I think.
Yeah. Which I was okay with because there was some more bad language there, but yeah.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, we're just teaching them, you know, the root, the...
No, they're like, the commitment to just listening to one thing is actually fascinating
and
to witness
miss...
for kids who only know an endless amount of choice.
Yes.
But yeah. And what I miss is, you know, you hear a song, I heard the Go-Go's the other day, and I was like, oh, and I know what song comes after on the next on the album.
Right.
When you hear a whole album in a row,
yeah.
And you could do it that
the
way.
The good old days.
Like, yeah.
And so Summer's listening to this
anyway.
And... She's really waiting for me.
But
she has a great cover when Zach's like, why are you listening to this? It's so sad.
And I'm like, I was waiting for Motown Philly.
Yeah, Motown Philly.
Motown Philly back again. Anyway.
So
reliving my youth.
A little East Coast swing.
of course you have the crazy amount.
See, you actually love Boyz II Men too.
Who doesn't love Boyz II Men?
Who doesn't love Boyz II Men?
Come on.
What's not to love?
You can't have grown up in the, you know.
In our era.
Yeah. It's great. The one guy with the really deep voice.
Yeah.
A lot of Samsonite on that bed.
There's a lot. And you're going to get hostel if you have to go to a hostel.
Yeah. Yeah, you haven't seen Hostel. Do you put me up in one?
That's right.
Classic Summer.
I just like that she's looking at her phone with Seth's picture.
I said that
what
too.
What is that
yeah.
graphic? I didn't have pictures on my phone.
On your flip phone?
Well, I
phone?
Had a Nextel. That's what it was. Mm. Those, we didn't
I think
have
we had pictures. And it's like 555-5555.
Yeah, exactly.
The phone number.
Yeah.
How many people tried to call that?
Yeah. But Summer is starting to freak out. Understandably so.
All right. And Seth had the advice about
the
hair dryer. I don't want you to brown out Western Europe.
And then
Zach being so thoughtful.
He's the golden retriever.
He's
perfect.
Well, Luke was kind of the golden retriever.
Yeah, but Zach really is.
Zach's almost more of a chocolate lab.
Fair.
A yellow lab.
A mellow one.
We'll call him a lab. That's fine.
He's so sweet. He's so also charming and
so
adorable.
Sweet.
And, yeah.
Did
Michael
you model
Cassidy.
That character after?
Myself. obviously.
But see, just when you're looking for the flaws, you can't find any. And I think that's one of
the frustration.
Reasons. That's what keeps her with him.
That would make me crazy, personally.
Yeah.
No comment.
But yes, that's when he says, you know, isn't it weird that I'm in the wedding? Anyway, we talked about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
and it is weird.
And then he talks about his sister being, again,
he's
very,
like, yeah,
alienating and severe.
Right.
Just the word severe cracked me up.
I think things like this would happen.
His delivery, though. That, it's like,
yeah, he's
so genuine.
About it. Yeah. She sounds great. But yeah.
I loved this. So next we're at Alex's and Seth shows up with his Spider-Man on and she instantly is like, hey, Seth. Like, doesn't
she
even,
knows.
No.
Oh, hi, Seth.
Like, who else would be on her doorstep with a Spider-Man mask
right.
on?
But we can also, this is
just
what I love.
Just your friendly neighborhood Seth Cohen. Yeah.
You notice a change in Alex. She's happy. Mm. She kind of does it with a smile. Not like, which in the past, every time Seth shows up, she's a little annoyed. Mm-hmm. Like,
And she's like, gonna front him money. She's like, sure.
But she's like, hi, you know, in a good mood.
She's gonna hire him back. She's gonna hire him back.
So he can buy back his boat.
Even though he was, what does she call him? Like the worst
employee
ever.
Yeah, or not the worst. She had some other term for it. Yeah. And then Marissa
walks
in.
And who walks out in a very, very revealing robe, I might add.
Was revealing, yeah. But I remember it was scripted that Brody was going to do that.
Oh, it was scripted? I wanted to ask.
He was not into it at first. He didn't want to do it.
Uh-huh.
And then when he did do it, he was really good at it.
Right.
It was really funny.
It was really funny.
Yeah, he was funny about it.
I thought it was a Brody-ism.
And again, it's probably in today's climate, maybe it's a little bit. But, you know, he's a teenage boy.
I'm curious about that because I always just root for, you know, my peers doing well in a scene. It's written well. It's funny. But does it come off as inappropriate in today's world?
Probably.
It does?
It probably does. But again, we're trying to own it in places, and we're obviously talking about, Alex is like, is this just about being rebellious? Is this a sincere relationship? And Seth is a teenage boy. And I right. think also the idea of like, wait, you left me for her? There's like that part of it coloring right. it. So, yeah.
I buy it.
Pink Motel.
Pink Motel. Okay. Sandy and Rebecca. Ding dongs are cheese sticks.
So this whole thing is obviously was, that's, you know, they were forced into. And Sandy's just being a little too nice, almost. And then this is where my question, I have questions for you.
Okay.
Like, Sandy's just giving off such nice vibes.
He's nice.
And he's nice. And
so he's a chocolate.
You know,
lab.
they're ding dongs and cheese sticks, which is what, a throwback to the TJ
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, and then Rebecca's like, you know, she tests it. We're just here. We can do this. Nobody has to know.
It's just us.
It's just us. So my question is, like, how much is Sandy, in your opinion, liking the attention or feeling those feels that he did from 22 years ago? And is he doing this, and you've just established that he's doing this because he's doing it for the right reasons, but how much is he actually enjoying this attention, do you think? A little bit throughout this?
I mean, it's hard to separate out your personal feelings or the nostalgia or like feelings that you used to have for somebody when you see them again. It's impossible to kind of just separate that out completely, you know? So it's definitely infusing part of it that he did care about this person. And but I feel like it's pretty clear throughout this whole scene that he's not going to cross the line. I mean, Rebecca's definitely luring him, and she's definitely ready to like bust that marriage open and mm-hmm. like make it happen on the cheap bed of the Pink Motel. But right. he's pretty steadfast here and kind right. of pulls
they
back.
Could
he tries
have
to call
got
her.
Two rooms.
We don't know that. We don't know what the vacancy situation was. How many other people's cards were washed out?
Right.
Okay. That's why you're the writer.
We also don't know that they didn't have two rooms. He may have just brought dinner to her room.
Yep. Okay. I believe it. I buy it.
All right. Okay. You don't know.
I rest my case.
We don't know. But we got the nice shot of him outside the motel trying
calling
to call.
Yeah. Kirsten.
I got to call Kirsten. I mean, there's also that like, he didn't have closure. She took off.
Right.
So this is him working through, even
sure.
though he's like, there's no way I'm going to admit, she's got feelings for me, Kirsten.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have feelings. I mean, I think he knows that inherently. I just think there is a piece of him that is still feeling those feels and enjoys a little bit of connection. And this will hopefully give him, and is giving him, some closure on this relationship. And we also don't know what she's been doing all this time. He's a different person building a family. She's mm-hmm. been on the run all this time.
Right.
So she's living on the edge, bringing out the pot and the mm-hmm. tequila. And he
can't
does
help herself from falling.
He did that a little bit with her. He went down that path with her a little bit, and he's sneaking in and he's doing all those mm-hmm. things. So now I think he's like, yeah, this is getting to
this
be
a little
too much. Okay.
A little much.
Boundaries, people.
It's time. It's time.
Seth goes to get his boat back.
This has been fun.
It's been a bit modified.
But he has the whole thing of like, oh, very Melville of you that you refer to it as a she, the boat.
Right.
Yeah. And Moby Dick, yeah. And Moby Dick reference.
Thank you for clarifying. Okay. And he reveals shark's teeth, and the boat is now named
Gimme Sex.
The Gimme Sex. Subtle.
Very subtle.
Was that the only name for it? Or how many names went through?
I feel like this cracked the room up. I feel like there were some pitches and trying to remember, but I'm sure it was like John Stevens leaning into like what was, that it's funny because it's the most obvious, you know?
Yeah, right.
But it could have been Bob D. Yes. Who knows? I don't believe that one came from me, but I enjoyed it.
It's pretty.
What's not to enjoy?
Pretty funny.
Okay, Sandy calls Kirsten in the morning. She thinks he's cheating. He tells her he'll walk home if he has to.
Does she think that? I mean, she's got, or she's thinking every, it's the next morning. I think she's got a hangover. She went to bed after scotch and cigars, right?
Maybe she screened those calls.
I could see her screening those calls for sure.
Yeah.
I'd be pissed. Are you kidding me? I was pissed when he said, I'm going to the funeral, whatever, dumping the ashes off the pier with
one
just
of the greatest,
him and Rebecca.
By the way, one of the best bloopers we ever had. I don't know if you guys talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
Like the ashes fly. Yeah.
In fact, we noticed that the actual, because you did it in the blooper, you see the ashes doing this. The cut or the scene that made the episode was just the ashes falling into the lens.
Right.
So because you couldn't, I don't know.
Yeah, the wind.
Wind was not their friend that day.
Nope.
No.
The sea was angry that day, my friends. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Kirsten's paying a heavy emotional toll.
Yeah, that's what my note here was like, what is this doing to her? What is, like, stirring?
And no, I'm so pissed with her. There was one scene where I was, like, losing my mind. Maybe it was that, when he leaves. He's like, I'll be back. And he actually leaves. It was Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Oh, I was
she
so
closes
mad.
The door.
Oh, I was so mad. Yeah. All right. I know. Marissa's bedroom. Julie shares that she experimented when she was Marissa's age. So, this is the Motley Crue mm-hmm. Jaeger reference.
Well, but she... So I like that Julie, she didn't overreact. Mm-hmm. She didn't judge.
You're trying to be
she
cool.
She did say,
she's definitely minimizing.
Yes. Yeah, but she does share this, you know, it was a phase, Motley Crue, Jaeger. But she does bring up, you know, it's Newport, you know, let's not, she doesn't want it to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And then Marissa moves out.
So
she has her suitcase and she tells Julie she's moving out.
Hmm.
And you kind of just stand there, which was shocking for Julie.
What's she going to do?
What's
she
like, gonna what do? Are you going to do? Yeah.
By the way, I think you stay dry this whole episode.
I know. I noticed that.
God damn it.
Well, there was, they made up for it in season four with Willa at the, and, no, anyway.
Yep.
Spoiler. It's coming up. That's later on.
I love this scene with Seth sitting on the boat with Ryan because when he reveals that,
Their exes are dating
now, and like the long moment of silence where the boys are just taking that in,
pondering that. Yeah,
as Kirsten walks in,
yeah,
like the last person they want.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Kirsten walks in to let them know that the results are back on the
but
DNA test.
I like that she walks in and says,
"Why is there
right,
a boat?"
Well, first of all, Seth says they're no longer welcome in the red states.
Right,
right.
So that was a thing that was happening. Now we kind of just blue states and red states. It's just like we take that for granted now. But that was a kind of a newer concept then that like
was
there's
it?
Blue states
wow.
and red states. Yeah. That was kind of just entering the lexicon. It was
wow.
the era of George W. Bush.
Ah.
And
who's
yeah.
that?
But it shows how far we've come from that.
Have we come to that far?
Well, we wouldn't would you make that comment about a lesbian couple? Would you say you're not welcome in the red states today? I don't think
no.
so.
Well, I feel like Queer Eye when they relaunched, they're like, we're turning the red states yeah. rainbow or something.
Right.
So it is still
yeah.
Whatever the quote is. Anyway.
But
yes. So they make that comment.
A dated reference, but also a window into the world.
Yes. Right.
And also Seth, when Kirsten walks in and she's like, I'm not even going to ask why there's a boat in my living room.
Yeah.
And they're going to put it in the pool.
How did they get it in there?
And they're going to put it in the
how
pool.
How did they get it in there?
It doesn't matter.
Well, they're bifold doors.
There you go.
It is
see,
a funny.
I'm a writer now.
They turned the boat on its side. But Seth refers to the boat as an objective correlative. He goes, yeah. Mom, this is an objective correlative. And that was like a big Bob DeLorenis term. He was always
I don't even know what it means.
So an objective correlative, there's quite a few of them playing out throughout this episode. It is an object. It is something that has symbolism or meaning for the story.
Okay.
So the summer breeze is an objective correlative as it reminds, you know, as the romantic gesture for Seth and Summer. And then there's obviously the big one, which is what turns Summer, which is Captain Oates, is kind of the ultimate objective correlative in this episode when Summer sees the little kid
yes.
with the plastic pony. That is kind of your textbook objective correlative. Anyway.
Got it.
Bob D. taught us all about objective correlatives, talked about it often in the room, and so it just went into the script. It's like, it's what it is.
Right.
It's object, straight up like objective
it.
Correlative.
I like it.
It's a literary term. I'm sure Stephanie also knew what it was. Just not me.
For sure.
Okay.
Seth calls Summer and asks for one last shot.
Mm-hmm.
When you're with him, is it
so
like
this is when you're about to leave.
I'm about to leave. Okay, so I'm about to leave.
And then what do you forget?
To the airport.
And what do you
to
forget?
To the airport.
What do you forget?
I forget Princess Sparkle.
So that's why you're back to take that call.
Is it Princess Sparkle or Princess Sparkles?
Singular.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I was right.
Can okay. I mention, though, that how much Zach is carrying? He's actually carrying her luggage.
Yes.
And
did
Seth not do
what?
That?
Oh, not carry her luggage? I mean, I don't know
anyway.
If he would have been physically capable of it.
Right.
But later in the episode, when you know, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but when you leave, I was like, those bags are checked. How, like,
right.
what's happening?
Oh, I
to
had
the
same thought.
What's happening to the 12
Of course,
pieces?
Our, like, neurotic, yeah. like, travel brain.
They're going, they're going to Tuscany
yeah,
at this
they're
point.
They're going to Tuscany. She doesn't even care at this point.
Yeah. What does Zach say about Samsonite? Is there, like, additional? I don't know. He had some funny line. But let's talk about your home phone.
Oh, my God.
Elegant.
Very elegant.
And no phone, caller ID.
A phone fit for a queen.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was very
retro.
The thing is, I mean, retro for like the 1930s. Yeah. I'd forgotten about that phone.
It was very loud.
Yeah. I was going to say Victorian, but that would have been a little too.
So is that what's happening here? Is he's calling me? Is this when I go back for Princess Sparkle?
Isn't that
so
it?
You
okay.
Yeah, you leave and you say, you got to go back.
And I say, no.
The phone rings like, and you're like, you don't get to ask me that again.
Yeah. And he's like, is it? And I'm like, I don't remember. It was so long ago and you
Which,
clearly.
Little do we know, that's the most autobiographical line in the history of the show.
I thought that as well. But yeah.
I can't remember. It was yesterday.
Yeah. Like your relationship with Ryan was more whatever.
Oh, damn.
Then.
You're still salty that he sailed to Portland.
I am still salty.
That he sailed to Portland.
Yes. He did. Little bitches on boats.
We mentioned in the last episode that you were it's taken this long for her to start to thaw out even from
Girl
that.
Can hold a grudge.
Yes, I can. Yeah. Clearly.
You know, those resentments only hurt you, honey.
Super Bowl. Oh. God damn it.
So here's the most, it was an awkward scene on purpose. The Caleb, Lindsay, Ryan, Kirsten, Renee all sitting, waiting for, and the only scene with Alan Dale. For this episode. Just sitting
but
there.
But he looms over the whole episode. Right.
Yes.
But they're like, somebody say something. And that like,
the rain. Yeah, it's pretty rain. A lot of rain.
And the doctor reveals that.
It's a girl.
It was a match.
Okay. Congratulations. Oh,
womp,
and he says,
womp.
I always knew. Did he?
Well, he did think it. He wasn't going to get the test, but Julie's the one that planted that whole thing.
We've noticed that, and I think it's... He's easily manipulated when people actually make sense or tell the truth.
Interesting.
He definitely looks to Sandy and Julie, you know, she has some bit of influence from time to time.
Love Allendale.
Love Allendale.
End of the road plays again.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
Seth is back in bed. Brian asks if Seth wants to join helping Lindsay move in with Caleb.
Doesn't want to lift those suitcases.
And here comes... What does he say?
He's going to stay inside and there's a marathon of Sherman Oaks, the real valley. And Ryan asks, what's that? And Seth explains that there's a reality show spinoff of the valley because why watch the fictional lives of characters or why watch the lives of fictional characters when you can watch real people in contrived situations or something like that, which was a response to Laguna Beach, which had launched that year. As the real Orange County, as the real version of our show. And I remember watching Laguna Beach and being like, oh, we did.
I know. I remember you saying that.
I had a lot of anxiety watching that show.
Shocking.
but we find out that it was promoted to us or presented to us as a real show, but we found out later it was scripted.
Well, yes. Obviously, people are making phone calls and somehow there's cameras at the other side where the calls coming.
Angles, reverse angles and such.
But even still, it was... contrived situations, but those were real kids. They lived in Newport. They're real teenagers. It just felt real and it really freaked me out.
That was the first,
which looking back on it, it was like, it was not probably a great use of my energy, but.
Was that the first?
Things are going too well. I had to sabotage it.
Right. Was that the first spinoff and then Real Housewives started?
Yeah, Real Housewives came after that.
After that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look what you did.
I know. Look what you did.
Didn't get a nickel.
I know. As we found out in Oscar at the Crown, right? That musical.
Oh, yeah. Sandy and Rebecca drive in the car.
What?
There was a musical. We'll talk to you about it.
Ask Steve Schwartz. He's the only one that actually listens to every podcast.
Okay.
Hi, Steve.
She tries. Okay, so Sandy and Rebecca drive.
What about Honey? Honey's listening right alongside
Honey. Well, Steve's very vocal about the episodes.
Well,
I appreciate
Steve's
you.
Steve's vocal in general.
Yes,
yes. Okay. Sandy and Rebecca drive in his car.
And it's raining.
And but Sandy's finally a little frustrated and a little feisty.
He wants to get back to his family. He's done with this. He gets it.
And he's yelling at the traffic. He's yelling at people, can't drive in this rain.
He swerves.
He's a New Yorker. He gets it. He's like, what the hell's wrong with these people?
This is weather.
Yeah. But she starts talking about, should we talk about it?
Last night,
have a family.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, finally.
No, I mean, he got up and left to call Kirsten and what have you. Yeah.
Yeah. And what happens? He swerves off the road. I think he's in a BMW. Down goes the Beamer into the woods.
Ah, and then we go to a break.
Of course.
Because,
naturally, what's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
I mean, there are commercials.
Right.
There are. And what happens? Well, a trucker has called the cops because they went off the road.
He's doing his duty as a
he is. That was the right thing to do.
Good Samaritan. That's
good
what you
Samaritan,
should do.
Absolutely.
And Rebecca just absconds into the rain.
She
just she just goes into the mist.
Yeah.
I just had this vision of like Rebecca living like Nell. Remember Jodie Foster and Nell? She's just like Rebecca's just living in the woods, like Mbay, Chickabay, you know, just living out there. And maybe we pick her up 20 years later. And
That's really funny.
Subsisting off wood chips and squirrels.
Well, and it's funny that as persistent and dogged as Sandy has been, that he just stands there and watches her walk up the slope. And he's like, he literally goes, that's it. She's right.
Yeah.
The 911's coming. They're going to say, who are you? What's going on? The FBI.
His car's in a ditch. It's not like he can give her a lift somewhere.
Nope.
Gotta let her go.
All right, off she goes. Downpour in a forest.
To go live off the land.
Where do we shoot this?
Live in a tree. I was trying to remember where we shot this. I was not on set for this particular scene. So I can't tell you. Let's go. Can we phone a friend?
You're like a gizmo. You can't be in the rain.
No, I can't. I start... Little Josh is just start popping off.
Let's go to the airport because I know where this was. We turned like the commissary or whatever it was on stage into the airport.
In Manhattan Beach at Raleigh Studios.
Didn't we?
Yes.
I remember that.
Whenever we did an airport, that's where we did it.
When Anna left in season one, we went to an airport.
You did?
Yeah.
I was not there.
You were there.
No, I was not.
You weren't there for Anna's goodbye. You're right.
No.
Okay, you're right.
It was just
Seth
and Anna's moment.
You're right.
Thank you.
Summer just infused.
I'm just there, though.
You're there.
Yes, always. And Summer's with Zach's family.
Now we get to see the sister.
And we get to see the alienating severe sister.
Yeah, needs a Xanax.
Who needs a Xanax?
Do you want a magazine? She's like, Xanax.
I know, Xanax. I'm like, then, In Touch, Us Weekly.
By the way, RIP all those titles.
I know.
The print version, anyway.
The print version.
Yeah.
It was a very big time for magazines.
It was.
Being on set with all of those and the gossip ones.
You know what the biggest magazine of that time was?
Don't say it.
Rolling Stone.
God damn it. I knew you were going to say that.
I don't even know where to look. Oh, there's the camera.
Schwartz.
Rolling Stone.
God damn it.
But,
Yep. Okay.
Well, but wait, what magazine does the mom ask for? She's like
an economist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're talking about Botticelli or whatever.
Botticelli. You said, I love his early work, the comedies. Which is what people used to say about, you know, Woody Allen's movies or what Woody Allen would say. But yeah, anyway, it was definitely,
a dated reference.
No, but it's funny.
It is funny.
But
I feel like Summer
rings.
Knew she was being funny in that moment.
I think so because we reveal that Summer actually is.
Is a super genius.
Yeah.
But also, her reaction to it, like, I don't really know who Botticelli is, so I'm going to throw out this joke of like his earlier works, the comedies.
I like Summer.
Great.
I do too.
Who doesn't love Summer?
Her phone rings.
And it's Cohen.
And that picture, the graphic pops up.
555-5555.
Which Zach sees.
He does see, right?
He sees it. And
By the way, I like Zach's reaction to Summer, like even when she's doing that and the like, oh, the earlier with the work comedies, like he's just like smiling.
Yeah, he's just everything. He's just delighted by her.
He is delighted. She'll be okay.
Doting on her.
Yes.
And then she says, I got to go back. I can't do this.
Yeah, well, she doesn't say that yet, but yes.
Oh,
that is what
happened.
Did I get
ahead of myself? Sorry.
You did, because Marissa's unpacking at Alex's, and there's no more room in the closet, and all the reality kind of sets in. Like,
right,
oh, Rex, do
dishes, and trash.
Can you take out the trash and all these things?
Definitely a first for her on all the
definitely
all fronts.
Definitely a first. Yeah. And then she's like, well, walk me to work. I like walking in the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. At first I thought, well, she did live with Jimmy. They were living kind of, like, you know, simplistically, but she wasn't necessarily paying the rent.
She was not
and doing,
paying
taking
rent,
out
taking
the trash.
Out the trash. Yeah. Only that much.
Reality bites, so.
Lindsay's packing, but then she tells Ryan she's packing, but not to go to Caleb's. She is going to Chicago with her mother.
The deep dish pizza beckons.
Listen, I get
like
it.
Like a beacon.
And the popcorn from Chicago, the cheese and caramel. It's the Chicago mix. First time I ever had it was in Chicago.
What about he puts one of yours in the hospital, you put one of his in the morgue.
What?
You bring a knife, you bring a gun. That's the Chicago way. Sean Connery, Untouchables, nobody?
Yeah. My brother would be all over that.
I love that movie. Okay, so Ben in this
scene. By the way, Zach, named after Zach.
From the Untouchables?
No. From 2022. It was a flash forward and then, anyway, all right.
Okay,
ahead.
We don't go there around here.
I just barely got that. Trying to keep up with you two. Anyway.
Yeah, you're doing great. Yeah. You're the one keeping, unlike Sandy, you're keeping this car out of the ditch. All right. Yeah.
So no, but this was giving some props to Ben here because this is where such, you know, the body keeps the score, man. The trauma of everyone leaves. I love his performance and that he was so committed to her. I buy that he really likes her and she's like, I gotta go. And he doesn't try to talk her out of it. And he does this over the shoulder hug and his face just drops.
I know.
And it's like everyone leaves me.
Yeah.
And it's so sad.
I think he really liked Lindsay.
But he did really like Lindsay. He liked being able to be smart with her and that she was, you know. But also she's like, it's, you know, I got to go. That's my family.
She's going with her mom. And like Ryan, everyone understands
that. And
as
somebody who lost his family, Ryan obviously understands the value of that. Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, the whole experience of this being, it's, you know, just the entire story of Lindsay and her mom hasn't been that successful of one. You know, just the drama of all of it. Just when you think you're going to get involved with all these families and egos and such, I can understand her wanting to leave. Now,
yes.
My other question for you is, was there a world where Lindsay stayed on, or do you know when you start a character? And
well, you always leave the door open. Mm-hmm. Case in point, you two. you know, not starting a series regular, becoming series regulars. So you start with it built as an arc, and then you kind of feel it out and see how it goes. And I think the feeling was we've kind of explored that side of Ryan. We had seen, you know, him in a kind of more normal relationship with somebody who was, you know, that was the pitch of like, she's bookish. She plays the oboe. It's like the anti-Marissa,
right?
In a lot of ways. And I think we just felt like we had kind of had that experience and told that story.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. I have another question. Why does the trope of characters always like sacrificing love and they're leaving town or they're going to an airport and it always seems to work
in
television and film.
It always works.
Because it's like she's just going to Italy, but it works for, you know, she's coming back.
I mean, it's just a dramatic, you know, there's a clear choice. You know, you get on the plane, you're gone. You turn, you run, you're Jerry Maguire-ing down the corridor.
There's a lot of finality to it, even if you're just going like Anna goes to Philadelphia and it's not like...
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, I was curious.
All right, now Seth is... Here we go. Seth's in the living room trying to watch TV, but the satellite is out.
Yeah.
That happens.
That does happen.
When you have a satellite.
Yeah.
Now, I used to have them.
Do you go on the roof and that's going to do something?
That's insane. But it was... He was like, why is God deprived? This is one simple pleasure.
Yes.
I will not be denied. And he says... This I can fix. So here's a guy who feels powerless, who feels like he's lost summer. Sometimes if you can just make the freaking TV work.
That's like you and your play and the audio. And if you can just get the sound working.
If I could just get the music to play.
That's your wheelhouse.
Wheelhouse, it might be, but it's definitely, I'm cursed. So, you know, he's going to go fix it. He's got his mask.
Yes.
He's
ready to go. He's getting his trusty rope.
Yeah. And now I believe the Matt Pond PA cover of Shampoo and Supernova has started or not yet?
But we didn't talk about Zach telling Summer.
Well, it might be playing under this scene.
I think it
scene.
Might start under this scene, but I could be wrong.
So Zach is telling Summer that his sister's flipping out. Could she talk to him? You know, she needs a Xanax. She has anxiety. Right. The flight's delayed.
Okay.
All these signs. He brings up signs.
There's signs all over the place in this episode. Yeah.
There are. And what does Summer see? What is the word? The Bob D?
The objective correlative.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And looks down and the little boy, I remember this little boy.
Yeah.
Of course, they had to cast a little curly haired brown hair.
We did. We were like, we need to find a little Seth.
We need to find a little Seth. He was a very sweet little young man. He's probably like 30 now.
I mean, it's probably CG's age.
Yeah.
Right?
At the time.
No, he's maybe a little
older.
Younger.
CG was like 3 or 4. This kid was at least 6 or 7.
It's the same age of the year. So she would have been, if this is 2004,
so she was 4.
She was 4.
Yeah.
So he was probably 6.
Older.
Okay.
Anyway, and she sees and he's playing with what looks like a little Captain Oaks.
Shout out to that kid. We should find out who it was.
He had
a line. He's got a credit.
He does have a line.
We should track him down.
We can.
Intrepid producer should track him
down. Diana, we need to do that.
Diana has just pulled up Max Burkholder.
Wow.
How old is he?
He's working, man.
Let's see. Born in 1997. Who can do math fast? Not I, said the fly.
7 years old. He would have been like 7.
But how old is he now?
What year is it? 22. So he's 29.
He's 29?
Right? No.
All of us.
Is that right?
26. Oh my God.
Wow, we're great.
I tried to do it on a calculator, but it doesn't work with you.
Right. It's 2022. How scary is that?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
26.
So he's 25. He hasn't turned 26 yet.
Almost.
He's cute.
Yeah, and he's working. Good for Max.
Parenthood.
Wow. Okay.
Shout out to Max.
Shout out to Max Burkholder.
So Summer sees this little boy, which of course reminds her of him.
Well, he's got the plastic horse.
And he's got the horse and everything.
And by the way, Captain Oates
is
sitting...
Is he playing on comic books? Because that would just
no, that would have been... No, that's too on the nose. But if you remember when Seth's sitting on the couch...
They are comic books.
When Seth, oh, it is. Okay, yeah. Well, we're not afraid to be on the nose. But when Seth is sitting on the couch and the satellite goes out, he's got Captain Oates next to him.
Yeah.
And Michael Fresco just got that little lingering shot of Captain Oates before,
right.
before he walked off. Summer obviously went back to pack Princess Sparkle before she left.
Yep. All of these.
All of these things.
Things.
All so, these horses.
And so
you have a little tear in your eye.
I do have a tear that's welling up.
But it
did Joni put
slow-mo.
That in? Was that
no,
like a drop,
that was all me.
Self-generated.
Thank you very much.
Through craft.
In the middle of a scene, they can't run in and blow menthol in your eye.
Through craft.
Through craft. It's wow, the only
well
time.
Well done.
So she's saying she can't do it. And Zach says, truth be told, I didn't think you'd make it past security. Can't fight fate.
But you know, the look on his face is, it's the one time I really see a lot of pain actually in Zach's face where he kind of goes, ugh.
So Zach and they kiss and Zach, you know, like the best guy ever. I mean.
And it was a nice kiss. You gave him a little parting gift.
I did, and I wiped his little mouth.
Did you slip him a little something extra on your way out the door?
There's no tongue in
There's
television.
No tongue. No, okay.
But he was hurt though. I could he's
no,
he does this look and he actually he
so
clocks
sad.
The boy. He clocks the boy, comes back, but he does that. It's okay. You know, it's, he says the mature thing, but he's still
he's
in
very
pain.
Mature for high school.
Yeah.
So now Champagne Supernova starts.
Okay, this is where it starts.
And
begins
a bus
play.
Pulls
it
up.
Starts. It kind of starts in the
you see the under, rain again
under the end of that the end of that scene.
End
we
of
start
that
to hear
scene.
This. They start to hear the music. Yeah. But we'd had
We're
artists covering,
here.
You know, songs.
Right.
And we'd had Ryan Adams, which we did not. We didn't. That wasn't like our
Wonderwall.
Yeah. So Ryan Adams had done Wonderwall,
mm-hmm.
and that was. Great and worked well in the show. So then we actually reached out to Matt Pond, PA, whose music we had used throughout the show, and asked them to cover Champagne Supernova for us.
Got it.
That's
so
awesome.
Matt Pond, PA did, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And we're going to, the Spider-Man was from
the
Spider-Man,
first movie.
The first
yeah.
In the
first
trilogy.
Movie, yeah.
Okay. A bus pulls up with Sandy on it. Kirsten's waiting with an umbrella.
She looks great, by the way. Just her outfit, her little rain.
She has an umbrella.
Always looks great.
Yeah. And she says,
is it over?
Well, she's first,
it never
she says,
started.
Yeah, which is a great line, but she goes, you took a bus.
Right.
That's like a big deal in California, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
That you take a bus. That
well,
meant,
I think
that
it's a big deal for them.
For them.
For because
for
them. We.
A lot of people take the bus.
A lot of people do take the bus.
I don't know. It's
not,
like, I'm like.
Sandy and Kirsten probably not normally
right.
taking mass transit, but he did.
He did to get to her.
Yeah.
And it never started.
I feel like that was a Peter Gallagher line.
It
like
sounds very
it sounds
Peter
like
Gallagher.
Something he would have, it sounds like something he would have pitched as the line.
Oh,
the
really?
I agree.
Yeah.
Do you think Kirsten thought, when she says, is it over?
Mm-hmm.
Was she talking about an affair? Or is she talking about just the
whole?
Whatever it was.
The whole
whatever
yeah.
it was, just okay. is it over?
Is it over?
Yeah. Okay, and they kiss.
But the emotional damage is there.
Mm-hmm.
Seth climbs on the roof with his Spider-Man mask
yep.
on. He does a nice slip knot, you know, to secure
mm-hmm.
it in case he falls.
Mm-hmm.
Stunt.
Was, thank
this
God he did.
Obviously,
I love
stunt
his off-camera scream as
yeah.
he falls off the side.
I know. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, it was very
how
funny.
How much was this? Was how much was a stuntman?
All of it.
I mean, that's where your Spider-Man mask comes in handy that you can't tell it's a stuntman. Although I remember
you can tell by the butt.
Well, anyway, but
Rachel,
because he had one, the stuntman had one.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Got it. So. So I do remember that Brody was not having the greatest time of his life hanging upside down for
a
long period of time.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was terrible. It was physically challenging in a, yeah.
It was pouring rain inside on the set.
And all the blood's rushing to his head.
All the blood,
upside,
and he's hanging upside down. All the water is going
you.
Up his nose.
Yeah, the whole thing was a disaster for
Let
him.
Let me just tell everybody, kissing upside down is incredibly awkward, not romantic.
Yeah.
Wet. Well, I remember the taste of the makeup washing like into his
oh,
mouth
gosh.
From the rainwater. I can still taste it. And it was like,
do you know this, what you're
spitting.
Saying? I read an interview with Kirsten Dunst and she said the exact
really?
Same thing. They said it was uncomfortable. The water's going up the nose.
I'm glad
there
I hadn't
nothing.
Read that before we did this episode.
Like, I'm going to make them do that.
Yeah.
She said it was an identical experience. So
yeah, and it was so wet on the sounds. It was just all awkward and uncomfortable.
It was a lot of water. We may have done permanent water damage to that stage.
How could we not?
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it was a big moment. People still talk about the Spider-Man kiss.
Yeah.
Right.
From the movie the show.
We're not even there yet. Oh, well, sorry.
What?
We kind of jumped ahead, but as he climbs.
Oh, sorry.
And he falls.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Marissa walking Alex to work, which is very sweet, to the bait shop. And she says, nope, I'm going to go back. Dishes aren't going to wash themselves.
She's in it.
Mm-hmm. She's in it.
She's in it. But then the pier has once again captured a sad soul. A lot of things happen on that pier.
Yeah.
And she sees him in shock, essentially.
Yeah.
Just standing there.
Just crying. He's crying.
Well,
is it rain or is it tears?
He's just staring off into the middle distance.
He's very upset.
And she's like, are you okay? I'm great.
Yeah.
Decided to stand in the middle of a monsoon and stare off into the horizon.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was sweet.
It was sweet. I was emotional.
Oh.
It was
very
sweet.
She puts her arm around him.
She does.
It was a nice moment.
I know. It made me miss Marissa and Ryan.
Yeah.
Was that the intention?
Yeah.
Marissa and Ryan get back together?
Oh,
my God.
But no, this was the first time it was really nice to see them together.
Yes.
Specifically.
It makes you realize you miss it. And
Mm-hmm.
Because she's now, I just feel like Marissa's in a, I don't know, more humble or just experiencing life, whatever part of her life she's going
where she
can have that empathy.
Yes.
She's always had that empathy, but circumstances have made her kind of have to be a survivor. And when you're a survivor, it's like, how do I take care of myself? But she's kind of in this place where she can really be there for somebody.
And also just never knowing how Ryan's going to react to her and what their chemistry is. Is it going to be combustible or nice? Or, you know, I feel like the gesture for her to put her arm around him is a little bit like, I don't know how he's going to respond to this. But
he needs
someone to...
He doesn't smack it away.
No.
Well, that's a good point because remember we commented on when he thought he lost Lindsay, he really came after her.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just want to be okay. And you could see that he had some resentments and anger towards mm-hmm. her. So that's a
brave gesture for her in that moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good point. I'm glad you're here.
I do what I can.
Okay. Now Summer takes a cab to Seth's. She has left the airport.
No purse, no luggage.
No, she leaves it all in the cab.
Seven pieces of Samsonite luggage on their way to Italy. Yeah.
Tuscany, you're welcome.
The sole bridesmaid has abandoned the wedding.
You're wet now. Now you're wet.
Yes, I remember it well because I was inside, wet.
Just open the door.
Knocks on the door and opens it. I leave the door open, by the way, also.
The door was also unlocked, so, you know.
Yeah, all the things.
Once you get past the gate, why do you need to lock the door?
Right.
She's calling for, and then she hears help, or
Summer?
I don't know what he's yelling. And then,
what are you doing here, Summer?
Oh, right, because I go outside and I see him hanging upside down
in
his Spider-Man mask. What
are you doing here, Summer? What do you think, Cohen? And she kisses him.
And then the very,
you know what? I remember in the moment, I was like, is that the best? I remember feeling like I didn't quite nail that last
line.
Like, but watching it, I felt like it worked. What do you think?
I think are you talking about my performance?
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it's older.
Well, the very last shot is a wide.
You could have done a joke.
I know, but it felt like.
It was more sentimental.
Yeah.
It needed that champagne supernova.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it's a pretty, I don't think it's a redo. I think we stick with it.
If you could redo it today, what would you change?
The only thing I was thinking was I feel like you pull back and you see the gimme sex in the pool. Would have been funny.
That would have been good.
Yeah, that would have been funny. But oh well.
Whatever.
I don't know that we had the technology for that.
I could just imagine. I don't think it would fit in the pool.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I see you there and the rain's pouring.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, how long did they keep up the actual kiss where he couldn't breathe? And it looked like a long time.
He was like, had to hold his breath, like choking.
Yeah.
It was all bad.
Sorry, Adam. Sorry. But I will say, after this episode aired, I got a call like the next day from this guy named Avi Arad. And Avi Arad was like a big deal in the toy business. And then he was a producer for Marvel Films, like in its early days. And he produced the Spider-Man movies,
mm-hmm.
the original Spider-Man movies. And he called me and I was like, hello? And am I going to get sued? Like, what's happening here? And he loved it. And he invited me to his office. And I came in and I met him because he worked in the toy business. He had known my dad. And so anyway, he was really nice and really complimentary. And he was like, the calls that they got, but like, it was cool that the people who made Spider-Man thought it was
cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then he offered me an opportunity to write the Bratz movie.
Oh. Yeah, what happened to that?
I didn't really know what, the, you know, it was not my demographic.
It wasn't your, yeah. Right. Got it, but got anyway. It, got it.
But it was really nice. So cool. It was super cool to meet him.
That's awesome.
Couldn't have been cooler about it. And it really made it feel like, oh, this made
an impact. Well done. And also, well done for us too.
Yes.
Well, that is the rainy day women.
Yeah.
Hey, one more thing. Yeah. I noticed, did you start writing more scenes for Kelly and me after this? Because this is the first time I feel like they're actually being...
I was going to say, this has kind of put you guys on the path for your...
friendship?
For your dating app. Your
dating app?
Oh my God. Just watch the show.
Well, that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm here.
Okay. So that's the end of the recap of The Rainy Day Women. Only three voicemails that we have for Josh Schwartz. Josh Schwartz,
well,
as CG would say.
Well, we only pick three.
Oh, got it.
There were more.
Okay. There were
four.
I mean, I left seven, so I know there was more. I have called in before.
Yes, you have. We've played it.
Oh, that's right. Very convincing.
Hi, Josh. I'm Francesco. I'm 29, and I've been following you from Rome. I've loved the sea since I was little. Oh. My question for the episode is, what would have happened if Summer had gone to Italy with Zach and not returned to Suzette? Thanks, and congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
What was his name again?
Francesco,
Francesco. I think she would have gotten to Italy and met a man named Francesco. And
well played.
That would have been it.
I don't see Summer backpacking through Europe.
No. Something would have happened. She would have been on a plane back.
For sure.
Or she would have been like, I'm using my dad's credit card and we're staying.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it would have been a successful trip.
No, but it does seem like Zach is more than willing to adhere to her demands.
Definitely want
to,
yeah. I mean, also, like, the family was staying at a hostel. It was unclear.
But, no, that was us going on after the wedding.
Afterwards, right.
At least I think.
Yeah, got it.
That would make more sense.
Post-wedding a little bit. While we're here, let's go backpacking.
Yeah,
by the way, when I was 17, I went to Italy, and we did stay in hostels, and I should have had a backpack, but I had a little rolly bag, and it didn't work on the cobblestone streets. So,
backpacks are the way to go.
Yeah.
I feel like backpacking through Europe, like, after college or after high school, that was definitely a thing. I'm not sure if it's still a thing.
I don't know. It's a question in this world today.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Better than my dad sending me to camp with a trunk because he said that's what all the kids do when they go to camp.
They do. That's
in
what
the
do.
60s, maybe.
I had a trunk when I went to Camp Kohut.
In the 90s, no kids had. I was the only kid. I was like Troop Beverly Hills in the parking lot with a turquoise trunk with gold hardware.
I feel like that was Prince Charles in The Crown.
At the boarding school, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I feel like you got it sturdy.
You had a trunk?
I'm with Danny on this one. Yeah, you got to have a sturdy trunk. There's a lot of weather at camp.
No other kid had a trunk.
Well.
Camp.
You're unique.
Lakota.
You don't want to be unique when you're a kid.
Okay, next question. Next voicemail.
Hi, Rachel. I'm Mindy. Just love the podcast so much. And it's quite funny hearing what you said, Mindy, about rewatching the show a couple of times or watching with subtitles. I actually remember I used to do that. It's kind of interesting how all the characters, you know, that aren't the kind of core four move in and out quite quickly. And I wonder if you thought that the OCE would maybe have more longevity if the characters stayed around for longer, you know, like a bit in like 90210, they stick around and they end up dating each other a bit more. I would have loved to have seen a bit more from Luke and Anna, like if they'd have dated or something, or if Lindsay and Zach stuck around, maybe, you know, there'd be a thing going on there. I kind of feel like rewatching it, the program was just obsessed with kind of trying to keep the core four intact. Anyway, love what you're doing and thank you so much.
Totally fair. We've talked about that, you know, like keeping Luke around, Summer and Luke is a thing, or Seth and Marissa dating each other, or...
What?
There's just different possibilities that we could have played with that we chose not to, and instead we had this kind of revolving door as we got into season two, and, you know, and then obviously season three, there's a whole other public school side of things, I think that probably we could have milked that, stretched that stuff out, repurposed people together in a way that would have been fun.
But Summer and Ryan.
Summer and Ryan.
Throwing that out there.
Well, now.
Yes.
Get Ben to do the reboot, and that could be the storyline.
Well, Ben, you're not listening.
We just want 15 minutes.
All right. Thank you for your voicemail.
Thank you.
Hi, Rachel. Hi, Melinda. Hey, Schwartz.
Schwartz.
Josh Schwartz. I can't believe I just said that. Like, I know you. I feel like since you guys have been on the podcast so much, you guys are doing such a great job. And we've seen Schwartz a couple times that he's just one of us. Anyways, my question is, did you know that Rachel and Adam were dating? At what point did you know? And did it change the way you wrote any of the episodes? Love you guys. Continue doing what you're doing. You guys are killing it.
You guys are killing it. I like him on a last name only basis with her. I mean, we were all pretty close back then. I don't feel
you
like...
You definitely knew we were dating.
Yeah, I don't know if we knew like day one. Did you guys try to keep it quiet? Hidden?
I don't know.
What am I asking? but it didn't change how we wrote the story.
It was always the story. Well,
the story was a story. Yeah, we didn't really write that you guys were together because you were together.
Right.
It's like
we were together
life
because
imitating
the characters
art, imitating life, imitating. Yeah.
Got
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
All right. Rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Torture.
Wait, don't look. You're not gonna. You don't look at the screen.
I didn't know. Fuck.
Well,
Jesus.
Then it won't be rapid fire. You'll know all the answers.
No rain or champagne supernova.
No rain.
End of road or Motown Philly.
I mean, we sang Motown Philly tonight. So,
so you gotta go Motown.
Ding dongs or cheese sticks?
Ding dongs.
Schmear or spread?
Schmear.
Spider-Man or Batman?
Spider-Man.
Favorite love song?
Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. Bob Dylan.
Okay.
It's more of a breakup song, but...
Well, it still counts.
Yeah.
Favorite bagel?
Everything.
Hmm. Kanye or Pete Davidson?
Pete.
Bicycle or motorcycle?
For myself? Strictly bicycle. I would die on a motorcycle.
That was great.
Okay.
Thank you, Josh Schwartz.
Thank you, Josh Schwartz.
I don't know when I'll see you guys again.
I know.
You're
right?
off to go shoot.
I'm
a
off
new
to go.
Show.
Where are you shooting?
We're shooting in New York.
Are you allowed to say what you're shooting and Stephanie promote
and I,
it?
Yeah, Stephanie and I are going to go shoot a show for Apple called City on Fire. Mm-hmm. Edited, first episode edited by Matt Ramsey, who edited this episode.
Nice.
Also, Jeff Granzow is one of our editors who edited many of the episodes of the show. So
awesome.
We used Jeff Granzow's name in the fourth season because I remember I couldn't say it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's tough.
There you go. Well, it's always so wonderful. I wish we could have your memories for every episode because you just
Rachel
gave us a lot.
None.
Well, we got a lot. It's good to
we
know
did.
About the Super Bowl. And,
God, no,
and
it's not good to know about the Super Bowl because I'm going to be like ruminating on this freaking
Rolling Stone.
God damn it.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him do a Pepsi commercial, as they say.
Wow.
Yeah. You can't lead a horse to Pepsi.
Nope.
Thank you so much for listening. Follow, rate, and review. Welcome to the OC Bitches, wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you like to watch us, check it out on YouTube.
I love YouTube.
I love YouTube.
I love you.
Bye, bitches.
Bye.
Hi, everyone. It's Rabia Chaudhry.
And I'm Ellen Marsh.
And we have a new podcast called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. As you know, I am a very smart lawyer.
You are. You're so well-respected in the entire world. You know everything.
Thank you so much.
And as you know, I'm a famous Broadway star. Gorgeous. I sing like a nightingale.
Well, yes. At least that's what your mom says. Just kidding. This is Ellen Marsh.
And I'm
Rabia. But we are teaming up to bring you a show like you have never heard before.
True crime meets talk show. Nobody's done it. We're going to do it. We're going to do the impossible. And it's the two things that I love. Ellen, I think you'll like it too.
What? True crime and talking?
Yeah.
I'm there. Every other week, we will have a guest talking about whatever true crime case they are obsessed with. We have a list, everything from the Lacey Peterson murder.
Yeah, some of the most famous cases you've ever heard of. Obviously, like JonBenet Ramsey, the West Memphis Three.
Chris Watts, Khalif Browder.
Elisa Lam, Madeleine McCain.
Sandra Bland, the Springfield Three. The list goes on and on. But they are all cases that you know, and we are going to dive in deep with someone else and just talk about them.
No. We're going to solve the case, Ellen.
That's right. We're going to solve the case. So subscribe to Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case wherever you get your podcasts.